This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Heads up, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau wants you. This week, they called for consumers' suggestions. They want to find ways to make it easier for students to repay their loans. They say student debt is preventing young borrowers from climbing the economic ladder. The numbers will just knock you down. There's more student debt outstanding than the entire American population owes on credit cards. By the end of this year, for the first time, student debt will exceed $1 trillion. This is a crisis, right? Well, the Atlantic Monthly begs to differ. They argue that the numbers tell a very different story, a story they illustrate with an infographic in the March issue of the magazine. Derek Thompson is a business editor for the Atlantic, and he joins us now from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hi, good to be here.
As a parent of a current college student and also a prospective one, I do have the urge to tar and feather you for this piece. But let's talk. If many colleges cost $50,000 a year, tell me again why we aren't in a student aid crisis.
So the sticker price of lots of schools is $50,000, $60,000 a year. But that's the sticker price, and not a lot of people end up paying the sticker price. In fact, I think the average cost of these schools is much closer to $20,000 when even after you include all the various amenities and the cost of living. And so, you know, what we wanted to look at is, okay, we know that people are afraid of this student debt crisis and that the number is especially big because in the recession, a lot of kids went back to school. And so student debt continued to rise. But when you look at exactly what students are getting in exchange for their debt, it does seem like a pretty good bet, especially when you compare it to all sorts of other investments that you could make with money.
Well, let's look at the sticker figures here. After 1 year, most of these kids, according to your infographic, owe about $16,000 in student loans. Those are the kids who go to the expensive private colleges. And that's $64,000 after 4 years. And that's a ton of money.
Oh, it's a ton of money. Yeah, I don't want to give the impression that I think $64,000 is chump change. It's not. But the fact is that these students have a long time to pay back that money. So it does seem like, of course, education is getting expensive, not only faster than the economy is growing, but also faster than wages are growing. And that's a problem that one hopes technology and innovation will fix. But in the meantime, despite this awful recession, one thing that's held true is that people who learn more also earn more. And so getting student debt, essentially investing in an education, does tend to pay off down the line in higher wages, which you can use to pay off the student debt that you've acquired.
But your numbers aren't fixed. 43% of graduates owe $1,000 to $10,000 after they graduate, but tuitions are rising. And looking just here in California, in the next 3 years, state schools are going to raise their tuition by up to 16% a year, reportedly. So at what point do you call the student loan burden too burdensome?
That's a great question. One fact that I would look at is what economists call the college premium. You can basically think of it as the bonus that you should expect to get from going to college. And that college premium has stayed pretty strong throughout the recession. And it is true that education is getting faster than economic growth and that we do have wage stagnation even for college graduates. But the argument there is that the economy is bad, not that student debt doesn't pay off in the long run. So I do think that to a certain point, we freaked out about this crisis at the very time that the economy has been its weakest. In the next 10, 15 years, we'll see, you know, how well these college kids' education has paid off.
There's another way, though, to look at these numbers of on student debt, and that is that perhaps kids are graduating with lower loan totals because their middle-class parents, many of whom don't qualify for much student aid for their kids, are bankrupting themselves to pay for as much college as they can. So maybe it's a misnomer, the title of your infographic. It's not a student aid crisis. It's a middle class collapse crisis we're talking about.
Right. But, you know, the thing that a lot of economists say is that where do you start to fix the middle class crisis? Well, you start with giving the middle class more skills. You start with improving, you know, what they call the human capital of the middle class. You give them the capacity to start their own jobs and be smarter and more clever and skilled in the jobs that they're working in. And I don't know the best way to do that except to say that we seem to have a college system that, for all of its faults, is still the envy of the world. So, of course, there are people who go deep into debt and then can't can't find a job and can't pay it off. And these are truly tragic stories. But in order to paint the broadest, most accurate picture possible, I think it's important for us to look at the entire population of students taking out debt. And that entire population isn't so scary. These horror stories are the 1% or the 2%. And the 60% are these students who are taking out between $1,000 and $25,000 of student debt and are largely, in aggregate, making more money and are far less likely to be unemployed than the rest of the population.
Derek Thompson is a business editor for The Atlantic. It was great arguing with you, Derek.
That was fun. Thank you.